What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to One Hot Take. I'm your host, Blake Howard. This is the One Heat Minute Productions new release show where we talk about new releases. And this one is I'm kind of having my cake and eating it too, because in Australia, it's barely kind of gotten a release. It eked the release, this movie. And I would say undeservedly, it's one of the big Oscar movies of the year that we're talking about today. Hamnet. And I'm talking about a shining golden statue of a podcast host. That is the legendary Katie Walsh, who has been running around LA in award season. It looks like it is finally winding up and she is back to her normal routine of life and movies. Katie Walsh, it is awesome to see you.
Hello. Hello.
So, Hamnet, directed by Chloe Zhao, starring Jesse Buckley, getting a lot of awards, really kind of like the most kind of crazy mortgage on the best female actor Oscar for Jesse Buckley for like months has kind of been there. You guys have a listen to the trailer and then we'll come back and talk about this movie and what it made us feel, because it does have some powerful stuff in it. But let's just see how powerful it is together.
Is it true? You know everything about a person by touching them here?
Not everything.
He's got more inside of him than any man I've ever met.
Who are you looking for?
William Shakespeare.
I have no talent for waiting.
The women in my family see things.
What do you see?
I see a landscape. Oceans.
You're having twins, my girl.
Undiscovered countries. What do you wish to do, Hamnet?
I shall be one of father's players.
Will you be brave?
Yes.
Will you be brave?
Please! When shall we three meet again?
Our children's hearts beat. They smile, play. Never forget for a moment.
Mama.
They may be gone.
Mama.
My boy.
He lives not.
You should go to London. That place in your head. It is now more real to you than anywhere else.
I am myself indifferent.
I am myself indifferent on it. Again.
Do you not wonder what is in it?
In what?
The play.
What shall I do?
Keep your heart open. Look.
Die, to sleep, perchance to dream.
What do you see?
Oh,
Bye.
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 Okay. I don't know how much of these trailers that people are actually going to get like a sense of what the movie is, but in the absolute, like, in the absolute simplest IMDb synopses, William Shakespeare and his wife, Agnes, grapple with their grief of losing their son or losing multiple children to, you know, infant mortality in the 1600s, which is like living. And Shakespeare, who starts out as kind of a glove maker, a kind of a sort of poor guy, goes off to be a stagehand and then eventually becomes the William Shakespeare that famously writes these plays. It sort of entangles and reimagines how the impacts of his, this imaginary sort of relationship and life and children entangle with his artwork. Katie, what did you think about this movie?
I like Hamnet quite a lot. I've seen it twice. I got misty-eyed at the end both times. Like, fundamentally, this is a film about the healing transformative power of art, which is also the theme of, like, Sentimental Value, which is nominated for Best Picture, and Jay Kelly, which is not nominated for anything. it is, you know, it's kind of a simple movie, right? Yeah. Like, it's about, you know, really big, elemental, life-changing, life, death, birth, the earth, woman, writing, witch, blah, blah, blah. It's about all these big things, the muck that, like, make up life. But it's pretty simple.
Have you seen that Charlie? Have you seen that Charlie Day meme where he's, like, connecting the dots on a wall with red string? I feel like
have I seen that? That's like every single millennial has a tattoo of that on their brain.
It's like just then that was Katie's, like, putting joining the dots. Earth, birth, witch, just pointing to the wall. This is what it's about.
It's a pretty, you know, if you look at sort of just like the plot of it, it's pretty simple. You know, basically, William and Agnes, who is his wife, they have three kids. She's this very witchy woman who has this like psychic vision that she is going to have two kids, and then she has three kids. She almost loses one of her twins in childbirth. And then, spoiler alert, about 8 years later, she loses the little boy named Hamnet. And in her grief, you know, she doesn't know what to do with it. Her husband, William, decides to write the play Hamlet, which is how he deals with his grief. And then he stages it at the Globe Theater, and it's through Agnes watching the play and seeing this representation of her boy and seeing her husband on stage also being a part of this play and playing a ghost, that she sort of understands his grief and that they're able to sort of like come together and understand each other through art. It's interesting. I feel like I'm talking about this film a little bit dispassionately when it is a movie that I actually like. But I saw it like months ago.
And yeah,
it has not really like landed on me like the way other films have landed on me. Like, it's not something that I was telling you, like, I keep forgetting about Hamnet.
Yeah. We need to talk about Hamnet, right?
Right.
This is like, you can still remember it. I just want to say this. I was watching it too in Australia, just unfortunately because it had been in bigger festivals and it had international theatrical releases, and the momentum, the steam, almost like steamroller momentum, and particularly of Jesse Buckley's performance and Chloe Zhao, you know, Academy Award winning director, you know, like Academy Award nominated director, as one Best Picture, etc. Like, the momentum was huge coming for this movie, and I took an age to see it. I don't think I saw it until like sort of January-ish. And I was trying to time a conversation about it with its release in Australia, and it just sort of hasn't worked out exactly right. So when I sat down to it, I really dedicated a whole ton of my attention on it because it had so many people that I really liked were talking about how impactful and amazing and moving this movie was. Even as recently, Coganato, who's a fantastic director and film essayist, had some really beautiful things to say about it. And I think what you're talking about, Katie, that kind of elemental simplicity sometimes really, really smashes me when it hits me, like the simplicity of telling a really simple story well and impactfully can usually be like, that's what I want. I don't necessarily need the cute over complications. But this movie, like, I guess the beginnings and the foundations of the story just were bouncing off me. Until, and I don't want to spoil anything because Katie put it so beautifully and elegantly just before, is that
I already spoiled the movie.
It leads to a crescendo of the performance of Hamlet. The kid dies, and it leads to, I think that's kind of ubiquitous at this point. But it's like it leads to this performance at the Globe, and that single scene packs an incredible wallop. Like, you are watching it, and in that moment, you're like, oh, this is the movie. And so if anything, I kind of respect Chloe Zhao and Maggie Farrell, who credited writers on this, around actually getting this thing, like, whatever you want to call it, like targeting or structuring or whatever, so that the end of the movie is absolutely like a barnstorming climax. Because that's what it is. And Jessie Buckley's performance, which is incredible throughout, and her grief is so, you know, just resonant throughout the movie. She is the anchor of everything that's happening. When this smashes you at the end, it does pack a wallet. But I agree with you, when I've got thought about it in the preceding months and all of the conversations about what movies are going to win Best Picture and all those things that are happening in this final piece of Oscar prognostication, like, Hamlet has never been a one that's going to win for me. I'm like, this movie's not winning. There's other movies that are there that are in the conversation.
Jessie Buckley's winning Best Actress.
There's
for
no
sure.
question. No question.
There's no question. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, what's funny is I almost have the reverse reaction to you. I love the beginning of Hamlet. Like, when you kind of get to meet Agnes and William.
Yeah, that's
and
interesting. When, like, I like
she is so fascinating to me as a character, and so much of her story is also about, like, the grief that she feels having lost her own mother, and her, you know, lineage of, like, being in the earth. And I wanted more of that.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to see her being like the
just
scene
a high functioning witch in the 1600s, you know.
When she goes out to give birth in the woods is like probably my favorite scene in the movie. She's like hanging onto this tree, just like doing what she elementally knows what she needs to do and give birth to her first child. And then when she gives her second birth, there's an extremely harrowing scene where Emily Watson will not let her leave. And, because it's like flooding and she's like, you can't go into the woods. And it's this like very harrowing scene. And it's an amazing scene on both Emily Watson and Jessie Buckley's part. And I love Emily Watson. I love that Jessie Buckley just spent like all of her SAG speech just like
talking about Emily Watson,
who I just worship, as an actor. And then, like, I do think that the final scene does have a bit of a wallop, but it's also like, come on, it's a little bit silly. Like, when Jessie Buckley's like, what's going on? Why are they saying my son's name? It's like, ma'am, you're married to a playwright. This is how plays work.
Instead of just the chorus of these like faces dealing with it, it's just Katie Walsh, ma'am. This is how
ma'am. And I'm not trying to like make fun of it, because it does really come to this beautiful place. And I think so much of what makes that scene actually work for me are the Jupes, the Jupe brothers.
Yeah.
So you have Jacoby Jupe, who is human sunshine. He is the little one. He plays Hamnet. He is so cute. Just this kid's face is like unreal. And then you have his older brother, Noah Jupe, who plays the actor who plays Hamlet. And like Chloe Zhao starts to like fold in like images of Jacoby as Hamnet as the play is going on. And it's sort of this like spiritual, like ghostly thing. Like he's there, his presence is there. And I think it just is like really lovely. And I think that those two brothers, like kind of, I mean, Jessie Buckley is, the first time I saw this film, I was like, she is a witch. I'm obsessed with her. She does magic. And like, I do still fundamentally feel that way about her performance, that, like, she channels something, like, totally otherworldly. And I've seen her do it in, like, every single thing she's been in, including The Bride, which is terrible.
I haven't seen that. I missed it. I really wanted to see that. I've got to catch it. Missed it. I've been sick.
Best of luck to you.
I actually want to watch it. We've talked
but
about
she,
it.
She's she literally good. Is channeling, like whether or not you like her performance in The Bride, and I don't want to turn this into The Bride hot take, but like, you can't deny that every time Jessie Buckley's on screen, she is channeling something from another that is inaccessible to like normal human beings. And I have been obsessed with her since The Beast, or since Beast, which is this incredible film from like 2016 or 2015. Lost Daughter. Obviously, she worked with Maggie Gyllenhaal beforehand. Like, she is just incredible and otherworldly in everything that she does. And I think that she does capture that in Hamnet. But for some reason, I just keep forgetting about it.
I think the hottest take that we can say is the name Jacoby Jupe is the most British shit that's ever existed. he's adorable, but yeah. Jacoby Jupe, JJ.
I know.
Like
I thought it was Jacoby, and then I keep hearing people saying Jacoby.
Yeah, well, that's the more like, so the fame, obviously famous international actor, but very famous Shakespearean actor, Derek Jacoby, pronounces his name Jacoby. So that's why. So that's why it, you know. Maybe it's the blending of the fact that we're talking about a film that's kind of like taking liberty. Jacoby Jupe. Oh my God. And yeah, no, look, I agree that the not necessarily connected to 1600 society introduction of Jessie Buckley's character and some of those early scenes are really fantastic. And then when you're on the endurance ride of some of the grief, it's really beautifully performed, but sometimes it just doesn't necessarily stick with you or resonate or like feel like this is something I'm going to revisit. But that final scene is absolutely, for me, that final scene is incredible. Yeah. And I was like, okay, this is the movie. I finally understood where it was. I was like, that stuff interested me and intrigued me, but yeah,
the thesis all coalesces in that scene where you're like, where are we going with this? Is it just a grief movie? And then it's like, it tells you what the purpose of this movie is in that scene. And then it just ends. And I kind of think that's great. Like, it just ends. It doesn't have to like put a point on it any further.
No, that is.
Understand.
It's good.
And there's like, you know, like the way that Jessie Buckley is sort of sitting at the edge of the stage and completely wrapped. It's like you get what's going on in this relationship between all of these characters in this space at once. And like, ultimately, that's what we're all searching for, right? When we go to the movies, is like some transformative, cathartic experience that you have with an artist and with the people who are creating art. And this just makes it like that much, you know, more immediate and palpable and urgent, because it's like all of these people who are experiencing this thing and then experiencing the art that is about the thing.
Yes. Yeah. And it's also that final thing, which is like when her and William are closely connected in their sort of love affair at the beginning of the movie, they feel like everything is wedged between them. They seem to be putting further apart his dreams, the stark, awful reality of their lives. And it's like in those moments where like, he's been with me Even if we haven't been in the same proximity, he's been with me this whole time on this journey of like our tragedy and the tragedies that have befallen our family's lives. So yeah, it worked. Interested to see. I'm more interested after a conversation with Katie Walsh about the feeling on the ground in Los Angeles right now about what is actually going to win, because it feels to me like it's been a conversation about one movie for a really long time with a couple of like almost absolutely rock solid certain other performances. But in the last couple of weeks, it's now starting to feel like anything can happen, which is a very interesting place to be.
I think that it's actually kind of fun to be in a more, to be surprised. I think anything that happens will be a surprise on Sunday. I don't think that supporting actress is locked up, which is the first time that's happened in a very long time. Best actor is completely not locked up.
No.
I've been hearing like wild theories from everyone on that. Cause like, you know, I don't know that Timmy has like completely torpedoed his campaign because voting closed last Thursday and this whole like opera ballet kerfuffle has been happening after that.
Yes.
You know, I don't know how much the BAFTAs scandal has helped the Sinners campaign. SAG obviously went, the SAG Best Actor and Best Ensemble went to Sinners. But also SAG, for some reason, didn't nominate any international films. So, like, there was no Secret Agent. There was no Sentimental Value in the mix there. So that just, like, creates a whole other, set of variables for the Oscars, because there's so many international films and in the acting.
Your guy, Wagner Moura, is, like, there's huge, like, I feel like that's a performance that has, like, sustained.
He won Best Actor at Cannes.
Yeah, like that has sustained for a long time. But now it's like bubbling again. People are like, oh, now it's wide open. If Timmy's out,
also,
then it's like...
Like, don't, you know, it's not just between Michael B. Jordan and Timmy. Yeah. It, you know, because also, like, you could split the vote and then maybe, like, a Wagner slips in or an Ethan Hawke, which I think is totally out of left field. But I think Wagner and Ethan have been, like, you know, running these really steady but like not showy campaigns for their performances. So like truly I do think it's like anyone's game. I'm not putting money on Timmy at this point, and I'm not putting money on Leo. He's barely done anything. He showed up to stuff, but he's barely done anything.
Leo is doing the campaign of a person who has won an Academy Award. Which is just
absolutely,
which is like, it's just like, I did for The Revenant. And you know what's weird is like, it is the Decade Project is something that we do in 1 Heat Minute Productions. You've been on many episodes, so you're all in it. But The Revenant is like, as getting is IMAX screenings, like where I am, 10-year anniversary IMAX screenings in Sydney. And I'm like, huh, like really? Like, who's going to go see The Revenant? Like on IMAX. I mean, maybe I will. I don't even like that movie that much, you know, after in the last 10 years. It's probably like I've liked it less and less since the first time I saw it.
Yeah.
But he's kind of done it. So you look at him and he's like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, no, he doesn't have to try anymore because he's already done the thing. But yeah, so it really is open. And I don't know. I mean, there might be like I've heard people be like, I don't know, wouldn't count Sinners out for Best Picture. So you just never know what's going to happen.
My two favorite movies of the year were One Battle After Another and Sinners. So
yeah.
I'm kind of like, to even have movies of that caliber, as far as I see it, battling out for Best Picture, it's like really good. You know, you look back at sort of years where something like The Green Book wins, and you're like, in a year like 2015 movies, like, oh, sorry, 2025 movies, like, Green Book wouldn't hold a candle to, like, almost any nominee that's on the list for this year. So it's, like, exciting that the caliber of movies overall
the only,
is strong.
Like, Best Picture nominee that I would be, like, actively offended if it won is F1.
Yeah.
because that movie's dumb to me. I think it's stupid. I'm an F1 hater.
It's okay. It's like I've watched F1. I have now seen it twice. I saw it at IMAX. I saw it at on home video, like home entertainment streaming or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. I watched it. I had a fun enough time. But if you said, "Is this going to get nominated for Best Picture?" I'm like, "No." It's just like a good. I think it's just
so poorly written. It is like it looks good. I mean, listen, not to take us on a tangent, but I'm just like, Joseph Kaczynski is like a great craftsman. He crafts amazing films. The quality of the film depends on the script.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think they just reheated Ted Lasso's nachos for F1. So I've seen this before.
I haven't heard it described that way. That's so good. Please tell me you wrote that. They reheated Ted Lasso's nachos.
I said this is Ted Lasso in F1, but I didn't say they reheated his nachos.
Oh my
god!
Yes,
I did write that.
Put that on a fucking poster. Jesus Christ, Katie Walsh. Guys, thank you so much for listening. It's always fun talking to Katie. She's the best in the best doing it. You can find her online. You can find her Rotten Tomatoes. That's where it'll like lead off to all of her writing for the Tribune News Service and Around the Grounds. She's recently been on some of the very fun, our friends of One Heat Minute Productions, Screen Drafts podcast. She was on the Paul Thomas Anderson draft, which was amazing, with our friend Corey Everett. She's on the 2025 Mega Draft.
Yeah, go listen to the Mega Draft if you want more of my thoughts about the best movies of 2025.
I am listening. Don't worry about it. I'm very excited to hear that. So that's always a fun one every year. So Katie, you're the best. Thank you so much. And
thank you.
We'll see if the certainty of Jesse Buckley winning at the Oscars comes through, or if some other batshit thing comes out, because that's
Hudson for Song Sung Blue.
Oh my god. There's some fun ones. The Oscars do some weird shit sometimes, so it's going to be really interesting. Not as regularly as they used to, but this I'm really looking forward to next week.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.